Well, this morning we are continuing our sermon series that we started last week entitled Muzzling Monsters. And the monsters we're referring to is what we're afraid of, the fears that we have. And this morning we're specifically dealing with the fear of failure. So I'm reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 4, verses 10 through 14. But Moses said to the Lord, "O my Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor even now, that you have spoken to your servant. But I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." And the Lord said to him, "Who gives speech to mortals? Who makes them mute or deaf, seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I will be your mouth, and teach you what you are to speak." But he said, "Oh, my Lord, please send someone else." Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. New York Yankees Hall of Famer Mickey Mantle once told a story on himself. It was about a baseball game in which he struck out three times in a row. He says, "When I got back to the clubhouse, I just sat down on my stool and I held my head in my hands like I was going to start crying. I heard somebody come up to me. It was little Timmy Berra, Yogi Berra's boy, standing there next to me. He tapped me on the knee nice and soft. I figured he was going to say something nice to me, you know, like, 'You keep hanging in there,' or something like that. But all he did was look at me, and then he said in his little kid's voice, 'You stink.'" One of our biggest fears is the fear of failure. What happens if it doesn't work out? What are people going to think if I fail? Who might I hurt? How might I hurt myself? Do you fear failure? Do you avoid taking risks because you just might fail? The brain's early warning system is negative. It is looking for all the negative things that just are out there and might hurt you. It tries to protect you from all those bad things. It raises up those threats, and it warns you about taking risks. Then it's your job to determine, is it worth it? If it happens, is it such a bad thing? Sometimes we just become risk adverse. We step back at the slightest threat. We become afraid of doing anything our brain says that might hurt us in some way. My family loves to snow ski. Each March, we go for a week somewhere to go skiing. Sometimes we see warning signs like these on the screen. A sign might say, "There are unmarked obstacles on the trail ahead." Sometimes a sign might warn that snowmobiles or snowcats might be on the trail. Many times signs will warn experts only. The signs warn us of a risk. So should I stop skiing? I ask myself, am I willing to take the risk? Is the reward greater than the slim risk that I might get injured? Is there anything I could do maybe to mitigate that risk? Well, I could slow down, but how fun is that? I could be more watchful. I could be more careful. I could wear a ski helmet. which I do, which worked out really well one year when I got hit by a snowboarder from behind at about 30 miles an hour. Tim and I love the experts-only runs. We think the experience is well worth the risk. My wife, Beth, she's a little more hesitant. Sometimes she'll take the easier trail and meet us at the bottom. But she still takes a risk skiing in the intermediate runs. Although I must say that she has skied many, many, many expert runs more than she knows. Because Tim and I told her sometimes, oh yeah, this is an intermediate run, when it wasn't. Don't worry, she knows. We recognize that we are taking calculated chances. We all are. You probably drove in a car to get here. That has its risks. But you determined the risk is low, so you drove to church this morning. I'm glad you're here. Imagine, though, what it would be like to not be afraid, to do things and not live in fear, to be able to face failure and know that you can still go on. The risk of failure shouldn't stop you from taking calculated risks. But first you have to recognize, yes, you are going to fail. You are going to fall on your face. I've done it many times while skiing. And yes, people are going to make fun of you. People are going to say things behind your back. Yes, you're going to embarrass yourself at times. And sometimes you're going to hurt yourself. All the things in life could hurt you. But they are not going to hurt you as badly as you think they're going to hurt. Once you get over that fact and you know that you're not perfect, you can grow. By muzzling the fear of failure monster that's in your life. I remember a sermon a number of years ago, maybe some of you remember it, when I talked about the River Thames, which flows through London. There's the word on the screen. Later, Reverend Kent Douglas pulled me aside and said, that river is pronounced Thames. I mispronounced the word in the 8 o'clock service, and nobody bothered to tell me. It wasn't until after the 9:30 service that Reverend Kent Douglas came up and said, Fred, this is how you pronounce it. That was embarrassing. I made that mistake in front of 1,200 people. Thank goodness Kent felt comfortable telling me. You see, we're all going to fail. It's inevitable. The real tragedy is not trying. When you quit trying because of the risk of failure, that's sad. If you're tempted to do that, remember then all the times you've been afraid, but you succeeded. Now, at 80 years old, Moses sees a burning bush. God says to him, Moses, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. God then asks him to go and free the Israelites. And Moses then gives excuse after excuse after excuse of why he can't do that. What will they say when you send me, O God? What if they don't believe me? I stutter. I can't speak. And finally, Moses says, please send someone else. Moses is one of the most important people in the Old Testament. But because he is fearful of failing, he gives excuses and excuses and excuses to God. Send someone else. He doesn't want to do it. You know, there will be times when God says, go over there. Go do that. But you might be afraid. God says, don't be afraid. Know that I am with you. Now, depending on which survey you may read, public speaking is either number one or number two on the worst fear that people have. I think it's because people realize that if you make a mistake in front of a lot of people, everybody's going to know it. By the way, I do this for a living, and I feel that. Everybody will hear you say, Thames. There are times when I may prepare a message for Sunday, and I feel like it stinks. It's not as good as it should be. When that happens, I want to say, but I don't, you know, it's going to stink this morning. Come back next week. I'll try harder. No matter how hard we work, there's going to be failure. We have to get to the place in which we can say, it's okay. It's going to be okay if we fail. It happens. By the way, I also find, though, that the fear of failure can motivate you to work really hard so you don't fail. And it's true. In 2006, I was invited to join our bishop on a trip to the Philippines. We were to visit United Methodist churches there to find out how they had grown by 500% in 10 years in attendance. But there was a risk. There were warnings posted on the State Department website about travel to the Philippines. It said this: exercise extreme caution in the Philippines due to crime, terrorism, civil unrest, a measles outbreak, and kidnapping. Should I go? My family depends on me. What if I'm killed or kidnapped? I did further research on the situation, and I determined it was worth the risk. Here is a picture at one of those Philippine United Methodist churches where they extended Christian hospitality. I came back with a much fuller understanding of the worldwide United Methodist Church. I experienced generous hospitality and faith of Christians who were deeply dedicated to make disciples of all nations. I'd never had that experience if I was too afraid. Have you ever prayed to God that you might not have to do something? You know, that service project was announced, and you said, there's no way I'm going to Costa Rica. Maybe a volunteer possibility was announced, and you say, there's no way I'm working in the nursery. I don't want to fold and pass out bulletins on Sunday mornings. I don't want to stand up in front of people on Sunday morning, I mean one or two greatest fear, and be a liturgist. I don't want to teach a class. I don't want to deal with the homeless. I don't want to deal with those who are hungry. I don't want to invite my neighbor to church. Lord, please send someone else. Do you realize Moses could have missed out on the most important part of his life? If God had said, okay, you're off the hook, Moses, I'll find somebody else, Instead, Moses leads the people out of slavery and almost into the promised land. The most important thing God said was, I'm calling you, and I will be with you. Imagine all the things you've been afraid of in your life. All the places God might have called you to go. But you were afraid of what might happen. Think of the times when you were terrified. God is speaking to you today. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. In Matthew 28, 19 through 20, Jesus says, Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus calls his disciples to travel throughout the world, to places like Rome and Asia Minor and to the east and to Egypt and into Persia, and to tell the people about him. Now think about this. Most of the disciples had never been anywhere but the Galilee area or Jerusalem. They kind of wondered, how are we going to do this? In many cases, they didn't know how to speak the language. But Jesus says, you can do this, and I will be with you always. Just trust me. Our trust in Jesus gives us courage. Because risk and faith go hand in hand. It's all about being obedient to his call. It's about asking, why in the world has God positioned me right where I am right now? I know I have more courage and more willingness to risk the more faith that I have. A young man was confused about his future. He suffered from what sometimes is called paralysis by analysis. He didn't know which direction to take for his life. One day he was sitting next to an old man on a park bench, watching some squirrels scamper across the branches and tree to tree. Suddenly, a squirrel attempted to jump from one high tree to another high tree. It appeared to be aiming for a limb that was so far out of reach that the leap looked like it would be suicidal. And yes, the squirrel did miss its mark, but it landed safe and unconcerned on a branch several levels lower. Then it climbed up to its goal, and all was well. The old man sitting on the bench remarked, Funny, I've seen hundreds of them jump like that, especially when there are dogs all around, and they can't come down to the ground. A lot of them miss, but I've never seen any get hurt trying. Then he chuckled and added, I guess they've got to risk it. If they don't want to spend their whole life in one tree. You know, as I think about it, all the most meaningful moments of my life required risk-taking. They required faith. And they scared me. You know, the first big chance I took was when I married Beth. By the way, I'm glad I took that risk. We've been married 37 years. Another big risk was when I felt a call to be a pastor. which meant that Beth and I had to move to Texas so we could go to I could go to seminary. We had no idea where we were going to live. We just loaded everything up in a truck and went. We had no idea what jobs we might get. We had no idea which churches I might serve once I graduated from seminary. But we felt that God was calling. But we were a little afraid of that calling. I remember the risk we took when the district superintendent asked me, "Would you like to go to Gold Canyon United Methodist Church?" I was afraid. I had nightmares. I'd never been a lead pastor. I always thought I would be an associate pastor working with youth. I'd never preached weekly sermons. I mean, would I be able to think of something to say every single week? I'd never been in charge of a building campaign. It was like a career change, and I might fail. Beth and I prayed about this, and we are so grateful we said yes. How would this church be different if Beth and I had been afraid to take a risk? Building this sanctuary building was a risk. Aren't we glad we took the risk of building new buildings? Aren't we glad we took the risk of buying a restaurant and remodeling it into a mission center? What are your stories? Where is God calling you to take a risk? Do you believe your faith can overcome your fear? We were created to live our lives in more than just one tree. So let's take that leap of faith, knowing that God is with us wherever we go. Amen.